Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best new inventory with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory, with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle, and fabulous service department with great technicians that back it up for the life of the vehicle. So when it comes time to trade in, you're in great shape for your next SMC vehicle. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we'll get to the Pac-12 in a moment. The show that precedes this is the outstanding Dan Patrick Show. Dan, who at one point during his career called WNEP in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre as one of his stops. I remember when Dan worked there. I was in college at the time. And it was interesting when he was talking about, and when he was discussing his four-year exit plan here, he was talking about ESPN. He says, I don't know how to be a host, a radio host at ESPN, because I was still representing ESPN. I wanted to make sure that I was being professional and therefore not taking any chances. And I kind of was going through the motions of radio, making sure I didn't upset anybody. Okay. I was the ultimate ESPN employee, Patrick said. I was what corporate wanted, and I didn't want to color outside the lines. I just wanted to do the right thing, and then I realized I wasn't having any fun after 14 years. I kind of hit a ceiling, and I thought, well, this isn't my personality. But I was almost playing somebody on the radio or playing somebody on TV. And Dan spent 18 years at ESPN. You know, let's face it, he did a great job. Anchor, he with Olbermann, paired up for a long time, radio host. And then he left. And he said he was masking his own personality in favor of what corporate wanted. And yes, the brand was highly successful. But now he feels like he's just doing the show that is his personality, his way of doing things, his thoughts, not just the company thoughts. And he says that Howard Stern, of all people, was the blueprint he felt for a successful radio show. You know, he takes some chances. He gives an open mic to the Danettes, which is great. You know, now, he may not be a Danette, but that's why, you know, one of the reasons I've always felt strongly that you know, I can kid around with Matt about some things about the rant of the day and so forth. He speaks for a lot of people, by the way, when he says that. Now, there's also a segment of the population that is concerned for his well-being. But it's important to have some fun and let him express what he's thinking on the show. And he does. Although today's coming up a little short.
Yeah, not a whole lot of material today.
Oh, come on. Trades. Your team did nothing.
I expected them to do that, though.
Right?
I wanted them to sell, but I expected them to pretty much do nothing.
Your guy Rondon did nothing.
Again, that's also nothing new at this point.
The guy that in June that you were saying when they get him back, they gotta get him back. They get him back, and you've done nothing but complain about him. You act like I don't listen to you. I hear you.
Oh, my almighty!
I'm just saying. Tell me I'm wrong. Did I misquote you?
No, you did not.
Rondon, he was your guy. Then the second he came back, he wasn't your guy.
Yeah, that so happens sometimes.
Hey, stop being your guy, right? You know, meanwhile, you're sitting there, and you got a right fielder that like only shows up to work when he feels like it, and you got problems. All right, but you have to let people show their personality, express themselves. You can't just be in this business, whether it's good or bad. If you should do the show the way you think the show should be done, and if the audience doesn't like it, then your longevity in this is not going to be great. If management doesn't like it, your longevity isn't going to be great. But the bottom line is you need to be yourself on this. I tell my broadcasting class all the time, remember, the best you is you. It doesn't mean you can't borrow from somebody else. There are a lot of examples out there that if you hear something or hear how somebody does something and it fits you, like, yeah, you know, that's a better way to do it, and that fits me. So it's okay. And Dan Patrick has done that. He's been brilliant. Brilliant. And one of these days we should have him on. We've never had him on. And, you know, and he's doing the show. He's got a lot going on. I mean, one of these days we'll have to figure out a way to get him on.
Yeah, I'd love to have him on.
Because you know, I think he's somebody that's been a standard bearer at this in this profession for a long time. And I think it's, you know, he broke away from ESPN a long time ago. And you could just tell that something didn't sit right with him. And I think it's important to let, you know, you may not, there are a bunch of people that you may not like out there. Right? But I'll say this, they're real. Right? Like, if you get to meet them, like I'll give you somebody that people probably would assume, well, those two can't get along. All right? Okay? Dave Jones, Penn Live. Dave Jones at Penn Live, like, we get along great. Dave can call me anytime he wants. I can call him anytime I want. And we can talk. Now, do we agree on everything? No. Do I respect a lot of what he does? Yeah. But it doesn't mean I have to agree with it. It's okay to not agree on things. Everybody who listens to this show, does everybody agree with everything I say? Of course not. Do I expect them to? No, I don't. You have to be realistic about it. We're not all going to have the same opinions. And am I right about everything? No. But I will say this on the show, Matt, you can confirm this. When something comes up and I've given an opinion about it and it turns out not to be right, have I said I wasn't right about that?
Absolutely.
Right? You just have to be honest with everybody. There have been things I've said, you know, and then it comes out, you're like, you know what, I wasn't right about that. It's okay. But I think the percentage of where I've been right is a lot higher than the percentage I've been wrong. But when I've been wrong, I've said it. Okay. We shouldn't get so wrapped up and angry when we're not on the same side. We're just expressing opinions. You can be friends with people after you're done expressing opinions, but I never understood that. Well, we don't feel it. There's a billion things to have common ground about and enjoy being around. Have some laughs. Have some fun. It's all right. Don't get so wrapped up in what you think that you can only be friends with people who have the same mindset. It's all right. Everybody's different. There's a thousand things you could put aside and look at somebody and go, for some reason I get along with it. That's great. It's the same thing with these shows. When you listen to ESPN radio, you can hear it. We have to talk about LeBron. We have to talk about Brady. We have to talk about the NBA. We have to talk about the Lakers. We have to talk about the NFL. We have to talk about Rodgers. We have to talk about Tiger. Right? Okay. We have to talk about Alabama. We have to talk about Georgia. We have to give our four teams for the college football playoff this week. And then next week. And then the week after. And the week after. Right? They are so closed on topics. It's one of the reasons that the radio brand is failing. They're not letting people go out there and just be them and just talk about what they think. Now, on this show, for example, we have to talk. I mean, it's important we talk about Penn State football. That's what people want to hear. And we do. And that's why the last half hour is dedicated entirely to the start of training camp today. Okay? Now, can you do the full 2 hours on it? Well, no, let's let them start camp. Okay. Now, this next part, we are going to talk about the Pac-12 part of it and the future of college football and what is going on. I know that, Dan Wetzel's put out a tweet that a group of Big Ten presidents began exploratory discussions on expansion in light of the Pac-12 uncertainty.
Correct. It just came out about a half hour ago. He's got all report out there on Yahoo.
No offense. My opinion is I don't see it. If I'm talking to them, to add Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Stanford, okay, first of all, I want to be honest with you. Cal and Stanford are great academic institutions. Stanford in particular, but they're great academic institutions. But what do they add? And please don't tell me about Washington and Oregon being travel partners and make travel easier for UCLA and USC. They'll tell you traveling to Oregon and Washington is already difficult. I mean, they'll tell you right away. But according to the story, a group of four Big Ten university presidents began preliminary process on Wednesday. I don't know. We'll talk about that coming up. You don't have to make moves for the sake of making moves. You don't need to make moves. I know you're trying to think, okay, what's the landscape going to be 5 to 7 years from now when this TV contract is up? I do understand that you have to do that. But, and it's always good to look. I have no problem with anybody exploring. But just be careful here with what you want to do. Managing 16 is difficult. And as I pointed out with the Big 12, oh, look, they're poaching people. They poach Colorado. I'll repeat it again. In 2010, Since 2010, the Big 12 has lost Texas, lost Oklahoma, lost Texas A&M, lost Nebraska, lost Missouri, lost Colorado. They have replaced them with Colorado coming back, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, BYU. Is the Big 12 better than they were in 2010? I'll add in TCU because they did add in TCU during that time frame. You're telling me the Big 12's better? Really? You're telling me that TCU, Colorado, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, BYU is a better combination of schools than Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Missouri? You're telling me that combination is better than that combination? In terms of brand power? What the Big 12 is, Big 12 should get credit for two major things. Number one, survival. They have survived. Number two, they took the survival and got themselves a TV package of $31.7 million per school. But the Big 12 in 2010 was five games back in the standings of the Big Ten and the SEC. Today, they're 15 games back. Still in third, but 15 games back. They're further behind today. They're not extinct. That's the big part. They survived. Huge. Got a TV deal. Huge. But they are exponentially behind the Big Ten and the SEC. They're further back now than they were. Survival's good, but the Big 12 has done very little really to advance itself. They're much further behind as a conference than they were 12 years ago. Nobody talks about that, but it's a reality. I mean, use your own common sense. Write it down on a piece of paper. This is what they lost. This is what they gained. And sit back and say, are they better? There's no way you can come to that conclusion. I don't care if TCU and Cincinnati have been able to make the college football playoff. I don't care. Okay? Those are more aberrations than anything else. And TCU did it as a member of the Big 12. But they're more aberrations than anything else. They don't bring... Okay? You don't sit there as a TV network and go, boy, if we could get TCU and Cincinnati. No, if I could get Texas and Texas A&M. Over here in the back, I'm in on that. Thank you. All right. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
The third option, I think, is some kind of merger or partnership with those six or seven remaining teams with, say, the ACC. The ACC and the Pac-12 have long discussed some kind of partnership or merger in some way.
Yeah, and Ross Dellinger with that. That was on Dan Patrick. But again, where's the money coming from? This is something that, again, you cannot just sit there and say, okay, here we go. You have to to have the resources to do it. Would that be survival for both of them? Yes. Would it make them a better brand? Yes. But would they get more money from ESPN? I mean, ask yourself. ESPN, again, right now, has become a drain on Disney. And I bring it up over and over again, but I keep trying to point out, you're a TV network. What are the must-haves that are remaining? I must have the NBA. Now, Fox says they're not going to go after it. They've talked about that. And the college football playoff. Fox is going after that, a piece of it. The problem that ESPN, excuse me, the ACC has is ESPN is not clamoring for Clemson and Florida State to join the SEC. They're already paying them $30 to $35 million a year. Why do they want to pay them $70 million a year apiece? I'm paying them between $60 and $70 million for the combination of two of them. Now I want to pay them $140? I'm sitting in Bristol going, no, I don't think so. See, that's the issue. You can play this game about musical chairs, but where is the money coming from? And it can't just be streaming. And I'm going to talk about the streaming part in a moment. Because the NFL, the Big Ten, Major League Baseball, they've all dipped their toe into streaming. MLS is the only one that's put almost the entire foot in. And there's a reason for that.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties, fabulous pre-owned inventory that the Sunbury Motors Group goes over with a fine-tooth comb to make the buying experience better and the performance experience better. And a fabulous service department that takes care of everything. Routine, difficult, they can handle it all with great technicians. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. It took him only 93 pitches, but Framber Valdez tosses a no-hitter, the first one ever in Houston Astros history, by a left-hander.
Lapa, Pena, no-hitter for Framber Valdez! The first lefty in franchise history to throw a no-hitter. A historic day for Framber on a day when the Astros acquired a Hall of Famer. Framber goes out and makes his own bit of history.
An incredible 24 hours with the trade deadline. And Framber Valdez says, today is my day. It's Framber Day.
And Todd Callis and company with the call on the Astros TV network. 93 efficient pitches to get the job done. 16th no-hitter in Astros history. And as we mentioned, the first by a left-hander. Northwestern, the situation gets worse. Former player Ramon Diaz filing a lawsuit. He is now the eighth to file a lawsuit. He is also saying that his race played a role. So there is a culture that's been condoned by the athletic department and university that has allowed these coaches to behave the way they do. I believe focus should be shifted toward the athletic department specifically, but Northwestern at large, the atmosphere will not change systematically if that does not happen. He says his Latino heritage was brought up many times. He told ESPN that his racial mistreatment began his first week of Northwestern's training camp in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He said the upperclassman shaved 0505 into his hair for Cinco de Mayo to mock his Mexican heritage. Said that he told his therapist many times something was taken from me immediately. The joy I had to play the game very quickly started to dwindle. Said they were in Kenosha watching film. One of the coaches said something to the extent of, man, this room is really dirty. It's pigsty. Ramon, I know your parents clean up after folks like this. How should we do it? So, that is the latest on the Northwestern situation. New story, new day, and it looks worse. So. All right. Football training camp on the field today. This being August 2nd, leading into September 2nd. And in fact, Notre Dame will open with Navy on Saturday the 26th. I mean, you got games on the 26th, a lot of them. Which will be 3 weeks from Saturday, Navy-Notre Dame. That game's in Ireland, right?
Correct.
Yeah. UTEP-Jacksonville State, UMass, a Penn State opponent against New Mexico State, Ohio University-San Diego State, Hawaii against Vanderbilt, San Jose State-USC, and FIU, Florida International, and Louisiana Tech. So there you go. That's 3 weeks from Saturday. Getting closer. And we already went through in the second half hour today an extensive look at Penn State football heading into the camp. And first practice is today. Media will get a look at it for a few minutes today. They'll get a look at it on Sunday for a little bit after media day. And then I think Thursday the 10th will be the next time. So they'll have three in about 8 days. Won't be a long, but still. And now for the Pac-12 situation. The Apple situation is, okay. Many feel that that streaming is the future, right? I think that's fair to say. Now, how fast it gets there, I don't know. But remember, this is when you look at the NFL, among others, the Big Ten, they have each dipped their toe in the streaming. The NFL with Thursday Night Football, Big Ten with Peacock. Big Ten will dip its toe in with 8 games exclusively on Peacock. You know, NBC games will also be on Peacock, for example. So Penn State's opener with West Virginia is on NBC and Peacock. But the game with Delaware is exclusively on Peacock. So there'll be 8 games, including that one, on Peacock, and there'll be 37 men's basketball games on Peacock, including the first two nights. Excuse me. My apologies, including the first night, which is 2 games, of the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. Okay. But that's dipping your toe in, primarily with the NFL. It is CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, ABC. For the Big Ten, it's Fox, CBS, NBC, BTN. So each one has dipped their toe in. The MLS still has a couple of matches on Fox and ESPN, but for the most part, they're the one that has dipped their full foot into the streaming pond. All right? Apple has Friday night Major League Baseball, but that's it. There's certainly some going to be, there are going to be more games in the Big 12 on ESPN Plus than you realize. What's interesting about that contract is the number of ESPN Plus games there are in there. And I don't think people realize until you really look at it, there's a lot more than you realize. So now let's get to the Pac-12 or the Pac-9 or whatever the heck they are this week. All right. So they present a contract that is mostly streaming. I think they are still harboring hope, and I think it, if they were to stay together, it would happen. They would at least get a window of a combo of ESPN, Fox, maybe splitting the window, maybe mostly ESPN, of a window of linear. The base is they can earn $20 million, which is per school, which is what they're making now. They claim that there are subscription incentives in there that can get them to the Big 12 number of $31 to $32 million. I've also been told that that those numbers are going to be extremely difficult to get to. It's like pie in the sky. Okay. So take it for the base and what the base is. So the base keeps them even where they are now, but makes them fall further behind. If I, let's take Arizona, which appears to be the one that a lot of people are looking at right now as a potential Big 12 target. If I am Jed Fish, the football coach, and Tommy Lloyd, the basketball coach, here's my concern about all this. My concern is, how can I recruit if people can't really, if they have to go through a process to see me play? Because you have others that have dipped their toe into streaming, which means the vast majority of what they are doing is linear, which means people can watch anytime they want. So let's just take an example on a Saturday night. I go on a road trip to Illinois. It's a noon game, all right, the 16th they're playing. We fly back on the charter. We get back. Yeah, I don't know. We'll get back from Illinois. My guess is between 7 and 8 we'll be back. Now, usually, I'd watch maybe, I don't know, whatever the better game is between the SEC and the Big Ten on ESPN or whatever. And then, you know what? I'd like to settle in and watch the 10:30 Pac-12 game. Whatever the matchup is, just to watch football. Right? Well, it's easy for me to do that, even if it's Oregon State playing Arizona State. It's easy enough for me to sit there and go, you know what, I think I'll just keep watching for a while and see if this is any good. It's not bad, I'll keep watching. Or it's like, it's not a great time to go to sleep. But it's easy for me to make the transition. If it's streaming, which means then I have to go through the effort to get to Apple, right? I mean, it's not exhausting, but you guys have gotten. I'm watching Amazon Prime football last year. So is the process, okay, you got to go in, okay, do you have an account? Yes. Who are you? Yes. All right, you get to it, boom, then you got to hit whatever the program is you got to hit, then it's got to lock in, finally gets on. The first part of the season, by the way, it kept freezing up. And what if it's a bad game like the Colts and Broncos? Now, the fourth quarter of that game I watched because it was so bad. It was like watching the train hit the bus and The Fugitive. Okay? All right? You're like, all right, you can't really turn away. It's that bad. But in the third quarter, I wanted to turn away, which means I had to stop the stream, and then I had to get through, and then I had to get out of it. And then after I got out of it, finally I get myself back to TV. It's like I'm pressing so many buttons to get back to TV to find something else to watch for a while. Oh, and then, by the way, I want to rejoin. I got to hit all these buttons and go through the process one more time to get back on. That's the problem the Pac-12 is going to run into with this. Hey, we're streaming. And it was like, look, you can't make things difficult for fans to find. If you can make it relatively easy, it's easier for them to lock on to you. So if I'm Jed Fish, the football coach, and I'm the basketball coach, Tommy Lloyd, I'm talking to my people and saying, hey, look, we just can't be mostly on streaming here with limited linear. How am I going to recruit with that? How? And I think it's a realistic question to ask. Now, maybe it's not the question to ask when it's 2030, but I'm really interested. I know there's more cord cutting going on. ESPN's down to like 73, 74 million subscribers as opposed to 100 million 10 years ago. In fact, I believe FS1 is actually a few more subscribers right now than ESPN does. Shocking, isn't it? That's a stunner. But if I'm a coach, I need to recruit. I need people to see my program. I need people to see my product. In this scenario, how difficult is it going to be to find my product? I don't know what you think about that, Matt.
I'm 100%. Because, I mean, it's even more of a pain when you're trying to, you know, like, wrestle with your kids, too. And you have to go through 5,000 different steps just to get the game on. Especially now, it's a little bit easier if you're watching, like, on your phone or on your TV or iPad or something. But what you're talking about is if you're trying to watch on a smart TV. Then it's even a couple more steps because then you have to go into your HDMI. Then you got to sign it. It's too much work. Way too much work.
You know, I mean, we do this. All the time in radio. For example, you try to make the process of finding a Penn State game as easy as possible. So for us, we've taken Penn State football, we put it on Eagle 107. Big signal. People can find it with complete ease. Right? WKOK, Shikellamy, football, basketball, Penn State basketball. You can find it with complete ease. You don't have to work for it. You know, you can find it. In media, you have to do things that make it easy for people to find. And it's not because, and this isn't a question like, well, maybe people shouldn't be so lazy about it. Like, excuse me, okay? You're trying to convince people to watch you. Your goal is to make them work for it? They're already paying for it. They've already worked. They've already gone to work to get the money to pay for it. How much more work do you want them to do? And you got to be able to find it. You got to be able to find it. This TV deal is something that I can assure you that Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State will all vote yes. I cannot picture Utah, Washington, Oregon, Arizona, or Arizona State voting yes for it. Can't. And that's the key. It's when most of it is streaming. It's fine if some of it's streaming, like I mentioned. You know, I mean, the Big Ten's dipped its toe in. Let's see how it works. The NFL dipped its toe in last year. And remember, this is something that is going, you talk about the subscriber part of it, right? Because there's no way in heck they're going to be able to meet the escalators. They're just not. Yeah, that's pie in the sky. The NFL last year, this is the NFL, the National Football League, on Amazon, they thought they could get 12 million. Okay? Now, they ended up with a really good number, but it was 9.7. What does that tell you? It tells you that streaming may be the future, but it's not there yet. It's not there yet. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so a lot going on. Matt, though, content and a man of few complaints.
I do have one quick one, though. I just saw, just speaking about the NBC Sports package this year with Big Ten. They announced the announcers for, obviously, for the Big Ten Saturday night games, but also who's going to do the Michigan-East Carolina game on Peacock exclusive. It's Mike Tirico, which is fine. But Chris Sims is going to be the color analyst. This is just for that one game. Then they have other announcers for the rest of the Big Ten games. Chris Sims can't even analyze NFL quarterbacks. Do we really have to put him on college football? Come on, NBC.
So he was negative toward Jalen Hurts.
It's not just Jalen Hurts. It's everybody. I just don't understand his logic when it comes to talking about quarterbacks or NFL play in general, for that matter.
If it's Jalen Hurts, you get very touchy.
I just think he refuses to acknowledge what Jalen Hurts brings to the table. He's not perfect. I'm not saying that, but I don't think he realizes how good he actually is. And he never will.
Well, that's why we have opinions. You are entitled to disagree.